Chapter 30. The Old Biscuit Warehouse. I knew that we had almost no hope of hailing a cab in that area, which is why I had arranged for Jerry Dawson to take us. Jerry was an ex-policeman, and one of the very few drivers I could rely upon completely. My trust was not displaced, for as we rounded the corner to the site of the Old Biscuit Warehouse, I saw his hansom still waiting by the half-tumbled unloading bay, his piebald mare Meg in harness. Her back was sagging, and she stood with her back left leg raised from a strained hock. It was not that he treated her cruelly, for his wife joked that he loved his horse more than her. But Meg was getting old, and a life of hauling heavy loads was beginning to show. Jerry looked down from his high seat at the back.
"Didn't know you was reeling in such a big bloater. We'll never get the three of you aboard."
"We cannot leave Miss Middleton here unaccompanied," Peter Hockaday hesitated. "But I am worried about her riding in your cab with him." Jerry Dawson pulled the lever to unfasten the flaps.
"Don't you worry about the Frenchie. I can deal with him. I am a Prussian officer,"
Prince Ulrich expostulated.
"Of noble lineage."
Jerry shrugged.
"It's all the same to me. Foreigners are Scots or French, and you ain't wearing a kilt."
He gestured with his whip handle.
"Hop on."
I let go of the prince's arm, and he heaved himself on to the footboard.
"If anything should happen to Miss Middleton," Peter warned our prisoner, but Prince Ulrich sneered.
"It is not I who will be afraid when my friends find out what has happened."
"Those posturing dandies," I scorned, ignoring the hand he put out to help me aboard, and keeping my revolver trained on my captive.
"Is that weapon loaded?"
Jerry leaned away.
"It certainly is."
"Only you won't shoot Meg?"
he asked uneasily, having heard about my expertise with firearms.
"I have had lessons."
I scrambled aboard, slightly ashamed at how easily the lies tumbled out. The prince looked about.
"Who is Meg?"
"Your kind of girl," I told him. "Black hair halfway down her back."
He pursed his lips.
"I prefer blondes."
I squeezed in beside him, pulling the flap shut after me. Jerry double-clicked his tongue, and we edged into the cobbled square.
"Don't go wandering,"
he cautioned Peter.
"Stand under the shelter. You won't be seen there, and I'll be back before you can spit."
"Be careful, March. It is not me who will need protection when we meet again." I wagged a finger. "Lamprey, indeed."
"Sorry about that." Peter grinned boyishly, tipped his hat, and disappeared into the shadows.
"Do not worry," the prince said. "I shall be making very good care of you both."
And there was nothing boyish or reassuring in his smile.